On January 2nd, I understand from an internet weather almanac, the temperature here was about 8 degrees centigrade, and there were slight winds of maybe about 9 miles an hour. But in Washington, D.C., where I was on that day, it was 2 degrees centigrade, and we had wind gusts of about 20-some miles an hour. So when I got off the metro train, and I was waiting on a text from a friend to tell me which coffee shop to go to meet him for coffee, I was glad when the text finally came and I could get out of the cold and go find the coffee shop and meet up with him. And when I went got there, I ordered myself some coffee. And it was a cafe where they serve both a mug and then a separate little pot of coffee. Now, my friend, who was born in the Republic of Ireland, he saw that my mug had a big crack down the side of it. So he called over the waitress and told her that I needed a new mug, and that while she was at it, go ahead and please get my friend a brand new pot of coffee to go along with his new mug. Now, my Irish friend told me that had he still been in Ireland, he never would have done such a thing, because he said that as an Irishman, he was brought up to just take things as they come and just grin and bear it. If you get a mug with a crack in it, you don't bother the waitress and say anything about it. You just leave it alone and you sip your coffee in that cracked mug and don't complain a word about it. But he says since he's been living in the States for a few years, he's learned to become an American and to not put up with such rubbish and to persist in asking for things more than he would have before. Now, in the scripture appointed for today, in Luke chapter 11, Jesus is teaching his ambassadors about prayer. And he says in verse 8, I tell you, even though your friend will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your boldness, or as another translation says, because of your shameless audacity, and as another translation puts it, because of your shameless persistence, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. Now, in Virginia, back in Virginia, our younger son, Graham, had a habit. In the neighborhood where he grew up and we live, he would go around to the doors of our neighbors on his own and knock on doors of sometimes perfect strangers and sometimes neighbors whom we knew and ask them for things out of the blue. Like he would ask for things like, do you have any chocolate muffins? And sometimes they would come out with a whole little bin of muffins or a whole bag of chocolate donuts and just give him the whole bag. Sometimes he would ask them for money, and they'd give him money. Sometimes he'd ask for what we call peppermint patties, or maybe you call them chocolate mints, and they would give him the chocolate mints. And he would do this, and even here, he's already trained a posse of cohorts in Holly Hill over here, and they've gone around canvassing the cul-de-sac in the neighborhood, knocking on doors and saying, would you give us £3 to wash your car? And I don't know what possesses people, but they pay these seven-year-olds to wash their car. I apologize if you're any of those people. Kids know how to ask for things. It must be wired into their brains somewhere. Because I don't know about you, but Nancy and I never sat Graham down and taught him how to ask for things. We never taught him, okay, you need to ask for toys. Here's how you do it. You have to go out and knock on these people's doors to ask for things. That's how you get fed. We never taught him to do it. He just does it. Jesus says in another passage in Luke chapter 18, that in order to live in the realm of God, that is, in order to inherit the kingdom of God, we need to receive God's reality like little children. A child raised in a loving home is a child who naturally believes that he or she is supposed to ask for things because they believe that all the adults around them have an endless supply of resources. You give a child a finger and they want the whole hand. They believe the whole world is theirs just for the asking. But unfortunately, we adults, some of us who have gone through some hard knocks in life, we teach our children to do the opposite. We teach them to live out of a spirit of poverty rather than a spirit of trusting in God's abundance. We teach them to be afraid of people. We teach them not to knock on people's doors. Back in our passage for today in Luke chapter 11, Jesus said in verse 11, "Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you, who know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" When Chris Froome won the Tour de France for the UK last Sunday, he did so with shameless persistence after that goal, because he knew that if he won the Tour de France, he would get a snake and a scorpion. No, he knew that he would get the yellow jersey. He would get the joy of the prize. He knew that if he did his part in persisting towards that goal, then he would enjoy the rewards that went along with winning the yellow jersey. Now, let me just pause here on this scripture where Jesus gives the illustration of fathers not giving their sons scorpions or snakes if their sons ask them for simple things like bread or an egg. Let me just pause here, because all of us at some point in our lives feel like or have actually received snakes and scorpions. Sometimes it's a stranger who's given us a snake in our life. And the deceiver of our soul will use that snake to make us afraid of strangers, to be wary of getting too close to people. Sometimes it's people that we most love and we most trust, like a mother or a father or a spouse, who gives us a scorpion in our life. And the deceiver of our soul will tempt us to feel very wounded and resentful. Sometimes the deceiver will tempt us to blame God for all the snakes and scorpions in our lives. And so we close ourselves off not only to strangers and not only to our loved ones who have hurt us, but we close ourselves off from God. We blame him for all the snakes and scorpions. We allow the deceiver to teach us that God is not good, that God cannot be trusted, that God is not to be relied on for anything. Now, this point that we're pausing on is so elementary. It's such a simple lesson. But it's really important that we get it before we move on. Because it's about this, that we can trust God in the midst of our fallen world. It's about declaring that we will not allow the disappointments and frustrations and hurts in our life to overwhelm our conviction that God is good. This is about saying no to the deceiver
This is about saying yes to God, who is good all the time. This is about pressing in closer to God when the going gets tough. So let me ask you, do you trust God? Do you trust God to hear you when you cry out? Are you confident that your persistence will be rewarded? Do you know God as your perfect Heavenly Father? Do you know God as the one who wants to bless you more than anyone else has blessed you in your life? I don't know if you've ever heard this saying. Let me share this with you. God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. Have you ever heard that? Yeah? Some of you? Okay. This is how we're going to do it. I'm going to say, God is good. And you say, all the time. And then I will say, all the time. And you say, God is good. All right? Let's try this. God is good.
All the time.
All the time.
God is good.
That was good practice. Now, let's do it for real and louder. God is good.
All the time.
All the time.
God is good.
That's pretty good. Jesus wants to teach those of us who want to be his ambassadors that in order for us to be a child of our Heavenly Father, we need to be convinced that he is not a God who would give us snakes and scorpions, but that he is a good God who wants to give us his best. He wants to give us his best so that we can live this life to the full. Then we can be willing to pursue the things that matter with shameless persistence. I like the King James Version of verse 10 in chapter 11 of Luke. It says in the KJV, "For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened." Asketh, seeketh, knocketh. Now it's interesting that in the English translation of those words, ask, seek, and knock, if you take the first letter of those three words, you get an acronym that is ASK. A, ask, S, seek, K, knock. ASK, ask. Instead of just grinning and bearing it, oh well, I guess that's just the way it goes. I'll take this snake and scorpion. I'll be satisfied and content with this life. I'll not bother to ask for anything better. Jesus says, instead of that, ASK, asking, not giving. The life of being more like Jesus is not just about giving more and more and more of yourself. Being more like Jesus is also about asking, asking, and asking more and more. Being more like Jesus is being willing to ask. So, let me ask you this. What this morning is your big ask of God? Now, the more you know, the more responsible you are. Because we're responsible for what we know. And you know now that God is good. You know that he wants you to ask him for things. He wants you to act like a child and come to him and ask. And if you who are now responsible for this knowledge don't ask, you might not get the chocolate muffins. And you may not get the fullness of the Holy Spirit that He wants to pour out on you. You may not experience life to the full if you're not willing to ask. And I don't want to miss out on this. And I don't want you to miss out on this. So I'm going to invite you right now to close your eyes. Let's close our eyes, or if you're not comfortable doing that, just bow your head or do whatever you need to do to try to connect with God right now. I want you to think about yourself. And I want you to think about your loved ones. What do you want to ask God for yourself, and for your closest loved ones? Something that you desire to see for yourself and your loved ones by the end of this year. If you can identify one thing that you want for yourself or your loved ones by the end of this year, lift that up to God right now and ask Him for that. Now, think about a ministry that you are active in or that you support or that you're passionate about. Within the next 2 years, say from now till the end of 2014, what is one thing that you want to ask God for that ministry? What is it that you want to see happen in that ministry within the next couple of years? Ask God for that right now. And finally, think about this congregation right here, for our church as a whole. Allow yourself to dream one goal for this congregation to achieve within the next 3 years. What's one dream, one vision, one goal you want to see for this congregation to be achieved within the next 3 years? Go ahead and ask God for that one thing for our congregation. Let me pray for us. Holy Father, receive these shameless requests from your beloved children. Release, Father, your abundant resources upon your children. Pour out the fullness of your Holy Spirit's power on us. Let us see your gracious responses to each of these shameless requests. We want to share testimonies of your unmerited blessings. We want to glorify and make your name even more famous than it already is, right here in Dawlingstown, right here in Marlin, in our borough, in our county. We ask for these things in Jesus' name. Amen.